Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vrajakacharya Astotara Sata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Vrinda Vakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Rasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Gangamai Ki Sri Jamunamai Ki Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki The Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmini Shingadev Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru Angaranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, text number 12. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam. Sakapite Bharata Maha Krishna. Yasmin Rinam Gram Yasukanu Vader. Matir Grihitanu Hare Katayam. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam. Sakapite Bharata Maha Krishna. Yasmin Rinam Gram Yasukanu Vader. Matir Grihitanu Hare Katayam. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam. Sakapite Bharata Maha Krishna. Yasmin Rinam Gram Yasukanu Vader. Matir Grihitanu Hare Katayam. Please chant. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam. Sakapite Bharata Maha Krishna. Yasmin Rinam Gram Yasukanu Vader. Matir Grihitanu Hare Katayam. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam. Sakapite Bharata Maha Krishna. Yasmin Rinam Gram Yasukanu Vader. Matir Grihitanu Hare Katayam. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam. Sakapite Bharata Maha Krishna. Yasmin Yasukanu Vader. Matir Grihitanu Hare Katayam. Very good. Hare Krishna. Mutters. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam. Sakapite Bharata Maha Krishna. Yasmin Rinam Gram Yasukanu Vader. Yasmin
Munir Vivacho Bhagavadunana Satapite Bharata Mahakrishna Yasminam Gramya Sutanubhadaya Mate Vihitanu Hare Katayam Munir Vivachur Bhagavadunanam Sakapite Bharata Mahakrishna Yasmin Rinam Gramya Sukhani Vade Mate Vihitanu Hare Katayam Munihi, the sage, Vivakshuhu, described, Bhagavat, of the personality of Godhead, Gunanam, transcendental qualities, Sakha, friend, Api, also, Te, your, Bharatam, the Mahabharata, Aha, has described, Krishnaha, Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasa, Yasmin, in which, Nrinam, of the people, Gramya, worldly, Sukho Anuvadai, pleasure derived from mundane topics. Matihi, attention. Grihitanu, just to draw towards. Hare, of the Lord. Tatayam, speeches of Bhagavad Gita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Purport. The great sage Krishna Dvapayan Vyasa is the author of all Vedic literature, of which his works, Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Mahabharata are very popular readings. As stated in Bhagavatam 1.4.25, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata for the less intelligent class of men, who take more interest in mundane topics than in the philosophy of life. The Vedanta Sutra was compiled for persons already above the mundane topics, who might already have tasted the bitterness of the so-called happiness of mundane affairs. The first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra is Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that is, only when one has finished the business of mundane inquiries in the marketplace of sense gratification can one make relevant inquiries regarding Brahman, the transcendence. Those persons who are busy with the mundane inquiries which fill the newspapers and other such literatures are classified as stri, shudra, dvija bandhus, or women, the laborer class and unworthy sons of the higher classes, which are Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya. Such less intelligent men cannot understand the purpose of Vedanta Sutra, although they may make a show of studying the sutras in a perverted way. The real purpose of Vedanta Sutra is explained by the author himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and anyone trying to understand Vedanta Sutra without reference to Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly misguided. Such misguided persons who are interested in the mundane affairs of philanthropic and altruistic work under the misconception of the body as a self could better take advantage of the Mahabharata, which was specifically compiled by Srila Vyasadeva for their benefit. The great author has compiled the Mahabharata in such a way that the less intelligent class of men who are more interested in mundane topics may read the Mahabharata with great relish, and in the course of such mundane happiness can also take advantage of Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Vedanta Sutra. Srila Vyasadeva had no interest in writing a history of mundane activities other than to give less intelligent persons a chance for transcendental realization through Bhagavad Gita. Vidura's reference to the Mahabharata indicates that he had heard of the Mahabharata from Vyasadeva, his real father, while he was away from home and was touring the places of pilgrimage. Om again to Mandasya Janjana Shalakya Chakshuma Samyakaswana Imam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutta Vishnu Tishila Vibhav Kuhuti Namaya Shri Shivanda Tavivira Padapad Pankajadanya Prabhupada Nuvadana Mashiva Bhava Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutta Vishnu Tibhakti Vedanta Samyakti Namaya Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharne Nivishesha Sanyavadi Pachati Deshitani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, in today's verse, Vidura is speaking to Maitreya Muni and mentioning that he has already heard a Mahabharata from Maitreya's friend, which is Srila Vyasadeva. Also, Srila Vyasadeva is also his spiritual master, because Sukadeva Goswami and Maitreya Muni, they took instructions from Srila Vyasadeva at the same time. So Vyasadeva is the spiritual master of Maitreya Muni. So also he is a spiritual master of Vidura, because Vidura also heard Mahabharata from him. He took instructions. So like that, in one sense, they are all equals in the purpose of this conversation, even though Maitreya is much older. And as such, Vidura is inquiring from him that, I have already heard the Mahabharata, which are meant for lesser intelligent men. Now give me something more, something that is higher. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing, is classifying what less intelligent men means. So is described as Stri, Sudra, and Dvijabandhus. So that's Stri is woman, Sudras are people of Kali Yuga, all of us, especially me. And Dvijabandhus are the friends or the children of the higher classes, which is are the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. So of these three categories, the Dvijabandhus, that doesn't apply in this age, because in this age it is described that they are only Shudras, so there are no Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. So the friends or the descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas doesn't quite exist. In the earlier ages, we had all these categories. In this age, it's described that everyone are Shudras, so we are all Shudras, very low class. As a matter of fact, some places describe that we are not even Shudras. If we were Shudras, that would have been a great achievement. but we were less than that. But so these two categories have time frames, the Dvijabandhus, the former time, Shudras, present time, but the woman class is for all times. So at all times, it's described here by Srila Prabhupada that they're in a category, as the Shudras and the Dvijabandhus, of the lesser intelligent class. So in the Vedic era, there are great women who also accepted this fact. Towards after the reading of the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, everyone left, Sukadeva Goswami and all the saints and sages, they left, and only Maharaj Parikshit, who was the student of listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam, only he was left on the bank of the Ganges awaiting such time that the curse would be fulfilled, that he would be bitten and his body would be destroyed by the snake bird. So at that time, when he was left alone, his mother, Uttara, came and approached him and she said that, because I'm a woman, my intelligence is small, I'm not able to understand the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. But if you can describe to me, in a nutshell, the essence of the Bhagavatam, then I would be able to understand that. So at that point, Sukadeva Maharaj Parikshit recited the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita to her, which is the essence of the Bhagavatam. So then also we have in the first canto, very popular, with prayers by Queen Kunti. So that's canto 1, chapter 8, verse 20. This is a Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Mamalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidanartam Katam Pashe Maheshriya. So, translation. So, Kunti Devi is speaking to Lord Krishna here. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service onto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators, who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? And then there's another quote from another great devotee, Devahuti, and this is in Canto 3, the same canto, chapter 25, verse 30. And go to that one. So, verse 30, say, Tade tan me vijanihi yatatha manda dhir harer sukham bodhyeya durbodam yosha bhagavat anugrahat. Translation. So Devahuti is speaking to our son, Lord Kapiladev. My dear son, Kapila, after all, I am a woman. It is very difficult for me to understand the absolute truth because my intelligence is not very great. But if you will kindly explain it to me, even though I am not very intelligent, I can understand it and thereby feel transcendental happiness. So these are three quotes that describes this. So I want to ask the Matajis here that you were probably confronted either by other devotees or non-devotees on similar saying, which appears to be belittling to women, that your Bhagavatam, your scripture is saying something like this. So how do you relate with that? How do you accept or how do you explain that? Can we hear Mother Hemavati? Yeah, the microphone is coming.
Srila Prabhupada said this famous thing about us, that if you think you're a woman, then you're less intelligent.
Yes, okay. That's very, very clear. Mother Ragatnika?
He also said that in these kind of descriptions of women, that but that's not a devotee. That's the materialistic women. The devotee has subhedeshaha, superior intelligence.
Yes. So thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so here in this Srila Prabhupada's purport, here he describes that those persons who are busy with the mundane inquiries which fill the newspapers and other such literatures are classified as Sri Shudra Dvija Bandhus, or women, the labor class, and unworthy sons of the higher classes. So, if you look at the lives of devotees, are any of us filling in these categories where we are involved in mundane activities, when we are involved in everything mundane and materialistic, or are we engaged in devotional service? So very clearly, Srila Prabhupada is making this point here, that those who are engaged in those activities, then they are categorized in this category. We, the Shudras and women, we are not. Because when one takes the Krishna consciousness, when one practices, then we are not Shudras anymore, we are Vaishnavas. And the women are not women anymore, but they're Vaishnavis, which means they transcend this platform. And how do they transcend that platform? Here, Srila Prabhupada describes in his purport. So, to explain what her position is. So, this same verse, 3:25:30, I'll read the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Oh, the board is already closed. Maybe you could have put it up. 3:25:30. Knowledge of the absolute truth is not very easily understood by ordinary, less intelligent men. But if the spiritual master is kind enough to the disciple, however unintelligent the disciple may be, then by the divine grace of the spiritual master, everything is revealed. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Yasya Prasada, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavat Prasada, is revealed. Devahuti requested her great son to be merciful towards her because she was a less intelligent woman and also his mother. By the grace of Kapiladev, it was quite possible for her to understand the absolute truth, even though the subject matter is very difficult for ordinary persons, especially women. And I'll go back to Queen Kunti's purport. What's going on? My phone is freezing up. Okay. So let's go back to Queen Kunti, which is 1:8:20. Share Srila Prabhupada's purport on these topics. Even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is beyond the range of the thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. And this is the catchphrase here. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. Others may go on thinking about him for years together, yet he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the queen, who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. The Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than men. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, this gives a complete explanation of our good fortune in this Kali Yuga. That Yasha Prashada Bhagavat Prashada, Yasha Prashada Nagati Kitopi, that without this mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot get Krishna. And without Krishna, one cannot get a spiritual master either. The mercy of Krishna. So, Yasya Deve Para Bhakti Vyata Devi Tata Guru. Same thing. That by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is able to achieve Krishna. And by the mercy of Krishna, one is able to achieve the spiritual master. So it like this goes round. So this is our great position, our great good fortune, that by the blessings and the advent of Lord Chaitanya, that this whole philosophy and practice of Gauranga Prem becomes available to all of us. And Srila Prabhupada, this great warrior and acharya, took the austerity to move out of Vrindavan, where everyone is sitting very comfortably, and to give us this opportunity. So we are all very, very thankful for this opportunity that we are able, because it's stated very clearly here, and it's very obvious that we don't have this kind of intelligence to understand. Like what Devahuti is saying, that I do not have the intelligence. But if you, Lord Kapila, explain to me, then I would understand. So what does that say? That if Lord Kapila gave his mercy to her, then it would be effective. So similarly with us, if Srila Prabhupada, if the acharyas, if the guru gives their mercy to us, then we would understand. Like the other day, briefly, I was, myself and Tamahar Prabhu was speaking. He was saying that he has no qualification to do this. So then I mentioned where Srila Prabhupada says that he created our good fortune. Initially, the devotees didn't even knew what questions to ask. Srila Prabhupada would ask the question for them and then answer it also. So this is our position in Kali Yuga. This is where we are at. But because we are surrounded by this great ocean of mercy, then our life is gradually becoming successful. It's described in the latter part of this canto that our position is like we are drowning in an ocean of misery. So we're in this unfortunate situation, this ocean of misery we are drowning in. But we have great hope that surrounding this ocean of misery are miles of smiles. That's the mercy of the Lord is there. So we're surrounded by miles of smiles. So we have great hope that we can get out of this situation, all by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis and the Acharyas. So this is our position. And so Srila Vyasadeva, who was very, very thoughtful and very merciful to everyone, understood that in this age we would be existing. And because they are so magnanimous, they create situations that would not exclude us from the exclusive mercy of the Lord. So therefore books like the Mahabharata was written. Srila Prabhupada explains here that Srila Vyasadeva had no business writing such mundane literature as he termed it. Because if you read the Mahabharata, it's all about the story of the lives of these list of monarchs, the monarchy system. But in there, Krishna injects the Bhagavad Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita is like an excerpt within the Mahabharata. So he injects that so that by enjoying this reading and understanding of this apparently mundane activities and literature, that the Bhagavad Gita can be caught up with us and we can get the beginning of Vedic knowledge. We can start. So it's a stepping stone. Just like Lord Chaitanya describes that we are all like the living entities, we are like different sticks rushing into the stream, the fast flowing stream. If you look at a stream or a river flowing, you'll see so many obstacles in it, like sticks and whatever would be flowing in the stream. But if by chance there is like some kind of a bend or some kind of a corner, some of these sticks, they came and they got hooked on the corner and they don't go downstream anymore. So the hooking of these sticks is described that we living entities, when we get introduced to Krishna consciousness, when we get introduced to spiritual life, when we happen to be met by a devotee, then this cycle or this fast-flowing stream, our lives are kind of cut off from it. We are being obstructed. So the ones in the middle, there's nothing really to obstruct them. But the ones in the corner are more fortunate that they can be obstructed around any corner and they can get stuck on the bank. So Lord Chaitanya describes the process of Krishna consciousness like this, that with all we have no qualification, with all we are so fallen, but this situation is here that the mercy can be thrown upon us and we have to simply accept. Just like it's described here in the Queen Kunti's verse, that purport, that it appears as though women are more religiously inclined because they accept more easily that when they say that, well, we are less intelligent, it means that we do not have that brain capacity to understand all these great philosophical intricacies of spirituality. But we are able to accept and understand the essence of it. That is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So that's the whole essence of what we're practicing. So Srila Prabhupada gave the very, very essence, the highest of what is there, but in a very simple form that we can understand. Srila Prabhupada said, with all like, how many months he took to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita? 2.5 months? Is that correct? Translate? Publishing. How long he took to write it? Yeah, because I remember he mentioned something that when he challenged his disciples, well, I'm going to translate, are you going to print as fast? Something like that. But anyway, it was a very short time. And yet, Srila Prabhupada said that I could have written these books much faster, but I have to take my time to put it in such a way so that the common people can understand. So that's the great mercy upon us, that he took the time to translate and put this in words that we can understand. Like, how much of us here have read any books by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj? How much of us have read a page or a paragraph, and how much do you understand? His level was so high that until now, even English professors are baffled by the use of his English words. And English was not his first language. And he's so compact with the use of his language that Srila Prabhupada was writing purports to his purports so that we can understand. So this is the opportunity that we have. And so Srila Prabhupada is describing here, Vidura is describing, that this book, this Mahabharata, is being given to us for our benefit. It's being given so that we can gradually come to the proper standard. And that becomes the greatest opportunity for us. And Srila Prabhupada is describing how, despite our present condition of lesser intelligence, that how the greatest opportunity is being offered to us and how we can accept and understand this greatest opportunity, which is by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So that's the essence of our Krishna consciousness, that in essence we are offered despite our inability. But if the Guru is merciful to the disciple, if Krishna is merciful to us, which they always are, we haven't seen any exception, that they create our good fortune and make us understand. So this is our process. Yeah, so Tad Vidi Prani Patena Pari Krishna Shivaya Upadek Yanti Te Gyanam Gyani Nestata Darshana. So Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita 4:24 that just learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Submit to him, render service, and inquire submissively, that the spiritual master can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So this is our practice. And with this, we can be very, very proud to say that we are in the camp of all Vedic scholars, because we have the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the Acharyas. So we are in the same camp. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was here, as he was carrying on his activities, some people questioned him about his low-class disciples. But every one of them were performing such divine activities. Srila Prabhupada said, just look at them. Look and see what they're doing. Look at their activities. They're all in total Vaishnava line despite their birth and their backgrounds. That their activities are totally transcendental. And that's what is important. And we're all, and how are they performing their activities? How are you, some of Prabhupada disciples can explain, how are you able to do so much when you were there among Srila Prabhupada? How was it? Because you're all confident that you're holding on to the hand of your father, right? So you're holding on to your hand, you know, just like when you walk around with your kids. They feel very confident that they are protected, that yes, my mother or father, you know, is holding my hand. So don't mess with me. I'm all good. So like that, we're all holding on to the hand of Srila Prabhupada. That's the whole object of our Krishna consciousness, that we're holding on to the authority. And like that, we function in that line, because a perfect devotee is not one who is perfect in speech or singing or whatever, but one who is perfect in his ability to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master. So that is the qualification, being able to carry out that instruction. And that's what we are trying to do here, as we're sitting here today and every day. to try to carry out the instructions. And if we do that, then we know that we're rightly situated. So I would stop here if there are any questions. Yes, back to Charles.
This kind of my takeaway on the woman, man, body, devotee is that the Vaishnava might be stronger in certain suits that the Vaishnava man body is not, and the Vaishnava man body might be stronger in certain things than the Vaishnava female devotee. So if you're looking at like Grihastha way, together the two can make great Vaishnava family together because they complete each other.
Yeah.
So in my own personal opinion, the female and male are on the same level. That's my thoughts. Could be wrong, but that's my thoughts.
No, that's an absolute thought right there, because our whole program, our address is Das or Dasi, which means servants. So none of us should feel that we're boss. Prabhu, you know, we address Prabhu and Mataji. That means that the other party is our superior, and we submit and we serve. So if that is there, then everything works well. And that's what completes, that's what the word Grihastha means. Griha Meri means husband and wife and family are there, but the idea is that the man is thinking that this wife and family is here to serve me. I'm the center. Little that he doesn't know, the wife is thinking the same thing, that this husband and children are here to serve me. That you have to come to me. You have to leave the North Pole and reach me in the South Pole. And the wife is thinking the same thing. And the children are there also thinking the same thing, that our parents, they have to do whatever it takes to give us what we want. They got to serve us. But in Krishna consciousness, we have Grihastha, which means that husband and wife and children, they live in the home, but with Krishna as the center. So that's the difference.
Full circle,
yes. So it's the same, appears to be the same activities, but with Krishna in the center. We are doing this to serve Krishna. So we're going to have Madhuri Kadasi, then we come to Pundarik Vidyanidhipuru. Yes, Madhuri Kadasi.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class. I was thinking, you know, we heard earlier what Prabhupada said about devotee women and that there's the difference. And I was thinking also that still there needs to be, have to be a little bit careful with that, in the sense that I should think like that about other devotee women, yes, but for myself, I have to remember that I'm still in the mixed category, and I'm still, in other words, okay, I'm dressed like a devotee, yes, I have my tilak and everything, but inside, I know that I still think like a woman. You know what I mean? So in other words, not to forget that I still have to work towards that level that Prabhupada was speaking about.
Yeah, but Srila Prabhupada's, the essence of his instruction is surrender. So whichever body we have, if we go in that direction of surrender, then the Lord, as he's describing here, that the Lord is not partial to anyone. He's very merciful. And the Lord understands, the Srila Prabhupada quoted in Kunti Devi's text here, the sincerity of purpose. So that is the key, the sincerity of purpose. So because we have different bodies, we would naturally manifest our devotion or our efforts of devotion or love or whatever in a different way. It's natural. And Srila Prabhupada says, as the material world says it, variety is the spice of life. So that would always be there, that variety would be there. And because the different bodies, male bodies would manifest their activities in a different way from female bodies. But if you look at the essence of it, what is the focus, what is the essence, what is the ultimatum of these activities? And if that is the same, then yes, that is the perfection. So because our duties might be different, our activity is going to be different, but that doesn't mean that our intentions are different. So yes, it's an accepted fact that because devotees always take a humble position, that they're always thinking that I'm fallen or I have this goal to work on. And which is the qualification for becoming a devotee. If a devotee thinks, I'm already at the top, I'm fully qualified, then everything is okay, then that's a very dangerous position. If you think that there is a struggle, that maybe I can't make it, that I need help, I'm unqualified, then that becomes the qualification for them to become a devotee. I remember when I was a bhakta, it took me about 4 years to get initiated until my spiritual master approached me. He said, what happened? Why aren't you taking initiation? So I said, I'm really fearful with all I'm practicing, but I'm fearful. I'm not very confident. So he said, that is the qualification. I remember he telling me that clearly. He said, that is the qualification, that if you feel too confident, that's when you can start sliding away. But if you have that dependence, then you would always want to hold on. Why would you hold on to the rope if you have confidence that you can do this all by yourself? You can climb out of this well by yourself. So, like that. I hope that answers.
Yeah, thank you. I was always also thinking that, that it's actually, it can be helpful in terms of trying to access humility if already we're in a position, it might be easier coming from a position that in a material sense maybe socially is considered less, could be more helpful in terms of trying to access real humility. And I was thinking with Uttara, if it wasn't for her, then we wouldn't have this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is such a beautiful book.
So, exactly.
Everything has its purpose.
Purpose, yeah. Actually, I do remember a story from past time with your spiritual master, Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He mentioned one time that because he felt, from the material point of view, that a black body is like a more degraded body. So because he has a black body, then he's making so much more effort for his Krishna consciousness. And the result of that is that he was who he was and who he still is spiritually. So because of that, that became an impetus for his Krishna consciousness. That became his strength, which was a great advantage. Yes, Pundarik Vidini. Okay. Stitadi Muni Prabhu for the Zigar comments. Oh, you had your hand up? I wasn't sure.
Can I go?
Yes.
Like you're saying, we're not the body. Yet. We have desires and so much momentum and go to a destination to fill that or deal with things. So in one sense, the body is a reflection of something you have to negotiate from Krishna's perspective in our long journey, particularly as bhaktis. But the thought is, it comes to me is, we keep saying the body, but it's really this whole powerful software package that comes with these things to make them operate. In one sense we have this body, but there's this whole subtle energy that comes with it, and we've got to negotiate it. So ultimately with jivas, but we do have to take into account the context of which we're operating, and obviously whatever this form is at the moment is part of it.
Yeah, that's why I quoted all those references in the beginning, because we're all, we're different and we have different bodies. Then we definitely have to take that into account, because it's this machine, this body is our machine that which allows us to progress. We have, in one sense, you can say we have nothing to do with this body, but this body is what gives us the opportunity to serve Krishna. It's through this body that we are able to serve Krishna. So we have to understand that it's different, but it's a very important instrument. It's the most important instrument we have. Even Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he said, first, take care of your health, then Krishna consciousness. Something like that. I'm just paraphrasing it. So this is so important. Srila Prabhupada would be so particular about his devotees' health. Like when I was in Vrindavan lately, we went to the Goshala, and Dina Bandhu Prabhu explained how the Goshala came about. It came about because when the devotees were trying to get milk, the locals would cheat them. They would, if you don't watch them milking that cow and put it in that container and go with them and make sure that they throw it into your container, they easily switch it and give you buffalo milk or add a bunch of water or something else. So when Srila Prabhupada saw this, he said, let's start our own Goshala so that our devotees can get healthy milk to drink and be healthy. So Srila Prabhupada is very, very concerned. So to maintain our Krishna consciousness, we have to maintain healthy material status. If not, it becomes very difficult. So, and then depends on what your situation, whether male or female bodies, then you might have different things that you have to do to maintain your body. So yes, we definitely have to take that into account, there's no question. So that's why Srila Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is a practical process. It's nothing artificial. It's very practical. And very scientific also. So yes, back to Cyrus. Yeah.
About the bodily concept, the color thing. I've listened to so many conversations. Even recently, I think a few days ago, Prabhupada was at a purport. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada's purport mentioned that there are two groups of people, two categories, and then white people are superior to black people. I heard this. And it was like... I'm not in the black consciousness thing, so yeah. I'm not affected by that. I just know that is quite explosive in certain communities, right. Very, very explosive. I mean, there was a time when, like maybe in the 60s or 70s, that was like not so much accepted, not frowned upon. Right. Now it's like, you can't say this, just can't say it. But Prabhupada is such a master, that for some reason, and what I appreciate about Prabhupada's disciples, that they can actually read his purports. They honor him so much. They respect him. They hold him up to such high esteem that they can even the matter might be very controversial, they will still, he's not shocked out. He stays because they honor him so much. And I'm thinking Prabhupada can say, it's like, maybe only Prabhupada could say things like that. You know. The point I'm trying to make is that it's not, for me, it's to do with, it's not about, it's little consciousness. It's not so much where you're situated bodily, whether you're black skin or white skin. If you think you're black, then you're already condemned. Mm-hmm. And so it is, and this, Mataji was saying that, because if you think you're degraded, then you reach higher, you reach out the mercy. Mm-hmm. So it can work to your advantage. And even in a material sense, there are many black people who rose to prominence because of the same barrier that was put on them. Mm-hmm. And so in a spiritual sense, it can also work. In a sense.
Yes, because the idea of Krishna consciousness is to be introspective and scout every opportunity. Like there's one popular wrestler, he's addressed as the ultimate opportunist. So the idea is that the devotee should also be the ultimate opportunist, to scout for every opportunity that can give us Krishna consciousness. We should look for that. Regardless of what your situation is, don't compare you being a pauper to a rich man. Don't compare your situation to somebody else's situation. No. Grab whatever you can at every moment. Because unlike Maharaj Parikshit, who had noticed that he would die in 7 days, we don't know. We might have 7 years, 7 months, 7 weeks, 7 seconds. We don't know. So the idea is to grasp everything that's available to us. Yes, Soma Prabhu?
Well, it's just interesting that, like, Prahlad Maharaj, he was considered born in a demoniac family. He had a demoniac body, but he's one of the Mahajans. He's such a great devotee.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter, you know, what family you're born into or what body you have. You can become one of the greatest devotees.
Yes, simply if you accept. So we'll take the last question. What's your name, Prabhu?
Drew.
But, okay. Destructive Sthitadi Muni. Holy mic. Okay, go ahead.
I've somehow been getting away with it up to this point. But, I mean, Prabhupada might have said something like that once, twice, three times in some morning walk, you know? And, you know, he didn't manage the movement, and it didn't interact with the devotees that way. He just never operated like that. So, you know, and oftentimes when he says these things, he qualifies as always considered, you know, embedded culture or But he certainly didn't operate that way as a Vaishnava.
Yeah, because main things that's what we got to be careful when we're quoting Srila Prabhupada, especially that many things are, Srila Prabhupada makes, there are two categories of statements. One are general statements and one are circumstantial statements. So sometimes he may say something out of circumstance. Like, for example, one time he was in Vrindavan and he has two of his sannyas disciples there, Gargamuni Swami, and I forgot who the other one was. So he told the other one, he says, now that you have taken sannyas, you cannot stay one place, you travel and preach. And then he turned to Gargamuni Swami, that now you have taken sannyas, you stay and manage Krishna Balaram Mandir. In the same sentence. So it's not a general statement. It's circumstantial to the individual circumstances. So things like that, we have to be careful to understand. So, yes, Drew Prabhu.
And then when the Prabhu says these things in class, I mean, from an American perspective, he's like non-European, right? So he's just saying these things out of humility.
Okay.
That was a very nice point. Can I just say something quickly?
Sure, Prabhu, yeah, okay.
Just quickly. I think when Prabhupada, he would make certain statements, he would say something, but if you really, really want it, if he calls you, it doesn't really matter what his statement called, maybe explosive or controversial. And being an outsider, if the message of Prabhupada and what he gave, if it really hit home, then the message, then you will actually take it irrespective of what being said and how you feel about it.
Yeah, because purity is the force.
Yes, and that's the thing. I'll give you a very quick example. When I came to Krishna consciousness, my wife was antagonistic against me. She hated the idea that I was going this way. She started to, she tried to find some, sorry to bring this up, but she tried to find some dirt in Prabhupada to hurt me.
Okay.
She said, he's a racist because he made certain comments about black people. And I thought about it for a while. It was just about to trouble me, you know, I was thinking about it. And I thought, I'll just dismiss it. I said, no, there's something here I need. Okay? And I went for it. And she being rebellious, she would always remain an outsider because she cannot see truth.
Yeah, that's why Srila Prabhupada said, like, one time I had this court case. And, you know, that they were condemning our movement in the court. And so the devotees told Prabhupada that, you know, maybe we can go up, we can read some excerpts to show that, you know, what our movement is all about. Prabhupada said, no, read every word, every page of all the books. Because our package is complete. So for you to understand, you have to read everything. Just like here, I read two purports. One is in the third canto, one is in the first canto. And what was stated in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada qualified that statement in the third canto, and vice versa. So sometimes you find like that you make a statement, and then way somewhere else he qualifies what he meant by that statement. So, because our philosophy is very compact and concise and precise, then it's also wide base as well. So that's why we should always be students of studying daily and understand all these concepts. And then our life would be successful. So, yes, Drew Prabhu, last question.
So, my question is related to this conversation about different skin colors, mm-hmm. black body. And I guess my question is, like, do we know what Prabhupada was meaning by these statements? I heard someone share, like, he was referring to how things are understood in Vedic literature. Mm-hmm. And a curiosity that I have is that, like, my imagination is that he was making a statement, and it's speculation, mm-hmm. that he was making a statement about circumstances at different periods of time, and just like how things have gone generally historically. Mm-hmm. Like, my imagination is that, like, yeah, in like the 1500s, the 1600s, 1700s, if one is asked, like, which body would you prefer, a black body which is going to be more likely to incur enslavement, mm. or a white body which is not, mm. then, like, in terms of, like, ranking, it's like, yeah, I would prefer to not experience mm. enslavement. So that's my imagination, is that, like, maybe he was speaking to how things had been historically, and what one would probably prefer. Another example is, like, yeah, in, like, the 14th century or the 1500s, would you prefer, like, a white body or, like, an American Indian body? It's like, well, based on how things went, it seems that one would prefer, like, a European white body versus, like, an American Indian body. So I'd be curious to hear your comment. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. Pretty much The secret of Srila Prabhupada's success in presenting Krishna consciousness to the outside world, let's say outside of India, is that Srila Prabhupada uses practical examples and practical everyday life to describe Krishna consciousness. So wherever he would be, he would use that. Even one time one devotee asked Prabhupada, his disciple asked him, he said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, how are you coming up with all these practical examples?" He said, "Because I'm always thinking about them." So he's using, with all he's given the highest philosophy, but he's using down to earth examples, that if he's in a situation, if he's seeing discrimination, then he would talk about that discrimination and show how from those situations you can bring in Krishna consciousness. So that's, in essence, that's what Prabhupada is doing. If you read his purports, many times I saw in Prabhupada's purports, and that sometimes I'm caught by surprise, that Prabhupada would talk about, you know, the American people or the, you know, the Western or different, and you talk about some kind of a situation that I was thinking, what, initially in my thoughts are, what are these things doing in the Bhagavatam purports, that are going to stay here forever? But no, it's important, because it brings a point. It able to give us the understanding of how we can see things in the material world. So that's the whole idea of when you give all those examples of, or when you see all these different situations, our idea, that's why it says that a devotee, in Bhagavad Gita, it says that a devotee is an introspective sage, that he always introspects every situation. He sees how he can use that to give the world the highest that there is. And sometimes to do that, you may have to make comments like what Cyrus Prabhu was saying, you know, about the black body and so forth. Sometimes you have to make those comments. And then you qualify them. You give comment to understand, this is what is practical, here is what is going on, and now how to use that and see that you're not this body. So that's the whole idea. And when one can do that, then that's how one becomes expert in Krishna consciousness. So I hope that gives some insight. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai.
Dhamaran ki jai.